Mr. Apocalypse is coming. He's rising into view just like the sun. He's bringing living truth and bringing freedom. And a wake-up call designed for everyone. Be the very thing you've been longing for, or it might be the very last thing on your mind. It could be something that you sent on ahead of you, or it could be something you left behind.
It is time for a weekly visit from our favorite social, political, and metaphysical commentator, Les Visible. He writes several blogs right around the globe that expresses reality as it is seen from beyond that smoky mirror of spin and deception, with a style and candor that cuts deep, separating, as it were, the bone from the marrow. And here at Feet to Fire, we experience the audio edition with the powerful poetic delivery of his written message, with a style that you will love or hate, depending upon your desire to be alive and awakened to the light of truth, or remain asleep in the darkness of delusion. Let's take a trip across the pond to somewhere in Europe, and this week's comments from Les Visible.
Hello! Greetings, Earthlings, and those of you listening in on the Intergalactic Network. Welcome. As most of you should know, but as some of you probably don't, Earth is similar to reality TV, in that we are a regular feature for off-planet viewing. Earth is a remarkable place, more so than it might appear to be, but the appearances most of us endure are fabricated for the purpose of our enslavement. We almost have to have a constant mantra going on in our heads that says, what we are seeing is not what is. Why is it that what we are seeing is not what is? It is because the one seeing is not themselves. And the reason for that is that we are all, to some degree, influenced by the dream web whose confines we operate within. We are all wandering in that mysterious country of the undiscovered self. Because of this, our passage is not unlike being in a carnival funhouse of warped mirrors. As with any condition, the more it is in effect, the more we are accommodated to it, and the more we accept it without question. This is another tactic of the enemy, to compel us to accept things without question. To that end, we are slandered and marginalized when we upset the status quo by pointing out that not only is the emperor not wearing any clothes, but he suffers from microcephalus, which is a large reason for his small-minded, tyrannical behavior. Getting people into a malleable and complacent headspace is something achieved slowly over time. We are assaulted and inundated with information calculated to shape our beliefs. If your beliefs are already suffering from shallow root syndrome, you are not unlike a eucalyptus tree that has the misfortune to grow by the side of the road and on an incline. It is inevitable what is sure to happen when the heavy rains come. These days, the heavy rains are here, and many who fail to root deeply into the real are in danger of being toppled and swept away by the unreal. You can find many a biblical parable that says the same thing. One of the reasons that nature is reacting the way that she is because of the shallow rooting of so many of us. In many another case, it is because of the poor, non-nutritive earth of fundamentalism and false premise. Delusion is like a swamp. If you are on the periphery of the swamp, it is still possible to find your way back to dry land. Once you've gotten out of the sight line, well, you're in big trouble. There's something in the human construct that instinctively goes the wrong way when it doesn't know where it's going. It's a known fact that people walk in circles in the woods. One of the reasons I periodically recommend anyone and everyone read Bradford Angier's How to Stay Alive in the Woods is for this purpose. I am as much at fault as anyone because I've forgotten what I knew But I intend to reacquaint myself once I have moved to my new location, which is in the least settled portion of this country, and which also has the most lakes and natural reserves. My kind of place. Anyway, back to the swamp. The swamp is a good analogy for what I am talking about. The swamp has many dangers, along with the water hazards and occasional patches of quicksand. There are water moccasins, alligators. There's starvation, of course, and the water could be bad, real bad, given that it is in the nature of corporations to dispose of their waste anywhere they can get away with it. Corporations, Zionists, governments, at least the government of today, are all atheists in composition. They, none of them, have the sort of moral inhibitors that you and I have. Their operative phrase is, me first, you later, maybe. At this time, self-interest is triumphant as a cultural moray. Its main offshoot is that Randian ideal, greed is good. Greed is not good and never has been. Take a look around you at how things are. You might not be able to see them as what they are really. Well, due to the everyday conditioning we are all subject to, so perform your observations in a manner similar to that which Patanjali teaches. Focus the mind in a continuous fashion while restraining the citta, or mind stuff, and whatever is the object of your intention will reveal itself to you. Yes. One of the things the world does is, of course, distraction. We know this is so, but do we ask why this is so? Yes, that is an area of inquiry we all too often skirt around. We recognize that something is so, but we don't then proceed to a further study of why something happens to be as it is. Well then, in this case, on the matter of distraction, the reason for it is to disable our capacity for concentration and focus, as well as the utilization of the objective mind. The reason for this is that there is a power in it, and that power, once capably employed, has the ability to destroy delusion, which goes counter to the intent of the one seeking to distract us. But it isn't just distraction, it's seduction as well. It is in the nature of a human being to seek freedom. It is a basic drive. We seek it in expression. We seek it in our relationships. And indeed, when you meet some compatible soul and fall in love, it is freedom that you first experience. The love of another, the love for another, sets us free. That is the intoxicating magic of the situation. Following that, however, in most cases, we come to bind and imprison the one we love by an insistence that they conform to our expectations of themselves rather than to their own. It is an absence of truth, trust, rather, that provokes this. Lacking trust, we seek control. And since we are not in control of ourselves, we're certainly not going to be in control of others, no matter to what extent it may appear that we have the upper hand. All we will have succeeded in creating is smothered hatred. This is an unfortunate truth about the human condition. I hammer on and on about self-inquiry because it is the essence of salvation and liberation. To know thyself is to be set free to express and be within the limitless potentiality of the self. Rather than there being a wrong way and a right way, the mind does not concern itself with that. The mind concerns itself with the way. One of the realities of self-discovery is that it resolves the opposites, and you are no longer a pinball bouncing from bumper to bumper. If self-inquiry and self-realization were what all the people who don't possess it thought it to be, it stands to reason why there are so few engaged in this pursuit. However, self-discovery and self-realization are something other than what one might presume them to be, when they don't possess them. Isn't that the case with everything? Isn't it usually the case that when you experience something for the first time, it is always more than you imagined? Or perhaps sometimes less than you imagined, but it is never what you imagined. What is enlightenment? What is nirvana? We all have some sort of an image that comes into mind when we think of it. If we knew what it actually contained, we'd all be much more directed toward our own possession of it, according to whatever tradition or non-tradition we are pursuing it through. I mention these things because of their importance in relation to everything else. By comparison, only this is important. I mention it because of the times in which we find ourselves. This is a very critical time in respect of a personal spiritual progress. Should you fail at this juncture, you are in for a long ride, going through whatever arrangements are set up for you to discover the meaninglessness of all the things that you have given your attention to instead of to that which is in your best interest. And this all brings us back to what was said earlier about distraction and seduction. Well, if you have any questions about whether this is taking place or not, a simple, even cursory study of the world around you and the operations of advertising, political agendas, the composition of the entertainment world, the educational system, pretty much anything you look at that is in the controlling hands of the Zionists or Satanists is glaring proof of what is being forcibly imprinted upon your consciousness for the worst of all possible reasons, because they are the worst of all possible people. In this time of worldwide spiritual warfare, there is the one objective, which is the purpose of the war, and that is the enslavement and or destruction of the human soul. There is a wide and intricately woven fishnet that has been cast over the populated areas of the world and is meant to trap and capture humanity en masse. On the other side is a much smaller army of workers backed by a much larger invisible army. It might be that the Lord of Hosts knows that most will not be saved or salvaged, and so there are only so many as there needs to be for those with ears to hear. The condition of the world accounts for the attitude of the majority of the world's population. It is this which tells me that whatever is coming will not be pleasant in those places where the majority of the population is in residence. As is ever the case, or at least most of the time, if they are not in the path of advancing armies, it is the rural agrarian communities that survive because they represent those things that do survive. That timeless order that is essential to life is still practiced in many places. There are timeless practices going on in the hearts and minds of people around the world. But it is as if the ineffable said to me some little while ago, but it is too few, all too few. I have to restrain myself from sudden jumping up on my desk here and demanding silence and then roaring off in a Savonarola-like fashion about how truly important all of this is. I get the urge that I have to do this for you and for myself, but I realize that this would amount to sound and fury signifying nothing. One doesn't gain the positive attention of people by shouting at them. I'm sure that there is more happening of power and substance at the hands of the ineffable than what I am aware of. Maybe everyone will be fine, and perhaps I am misled by appearances. Perhaps starships will come out of the sky or angels will descend from the heavens with flaming swords to deal with the monsters who have plagued us for so long. Perhaps they will suddenly all disappear. One morning, yeah, whisked away to another world while the rest of us sleep. Thinking about it, it occurs to me that that could pretty much happen in the daytime, too, given the general state of consciousness. I have to accept that things are going to go the way they go and that the only part of that I have any control over is the way I go. I have to accept what everyone else has to accept, and that is that only by example can one leave any lasting impact on the world around them. People have to come and drink the water of their own free will. I don't know if I'm just saying these things to be saying them or whether I really mean them and am simply frustrated in my ability to be more clear and more useful. I look back at recent years and all the efforts made one way or another in life or an unreasonable facsimile of it goes on around me. I'm not crying in my old gray tea here. I'm doing what I always do, which is to dramatize the issues. I'm probing about for some sort of a new manner of presentation. I sit here at my desk most days from the time I get up until I go to bed. Of course, I step away on occasion, but, you know, it just all fascinates me what I see. You know, these are not ordinary times. The possibilities are amazing. Not only is this once in every 26,000 years, it's also a unique 26,000-year period, too, given where it is that our solar system has migrated to in the galaxy. You know, that quote from Paramahansa Yogananda keeps coming back to me nearly every day. It's as if I'm supposed to repeat it for the benefit of readers and listeners again and again. He said, if you don't look for God in the springtime of your life, you won't be there in the winter. Yikes! And double yikes! I did look for God in the very early spring of my life. Then he told me, that's why I keep bringing that quote into your mind. You might not see what I mean and intend yet for you, but you will. He says that, and he says, can you feel me smiling and on the verge of laughter about this affair? I nod my head. I am, he says. In all those ways that those two words have been used, and if I am, what else is there really? Now I sit here reflecting about all that and thinking, if the ineffable is 100% real, certainly more real than the world, which is a mere extension or a small portion of the ineffable's being, and we have many, many witnesses to this fact across the centuries. If this is so, then there is nothing to be concerned about at any level if your focus is on the ineffable and if you are in the service of the ineffable. Otherwise, it's whatever it is, and a mechanical operation for the most part. Things go as they go. Cause and effect, reaction and result, sooner, or according to one's karma, later. So I'm shouting in my quiet voice. I'm appealing to that which is within you and is within me. The curtain will soon be drawn away from the next stage for the next act. Intensify your quest. Seek out the qualities of faith, certitude, and determination. Perform as you believe. Perform as you believe. Well then, come to the end of another broadcast, and I will see you next week if there is one. In the meantime, well, I guess I've already covered that, so have a nice one. All right then. Om Amitabha. Hare Krishna. Greetings, Lord Ganesh. Hail, Lord Jesus Christ. Alhamdulillah. Much love, Lady Nature and Tara. Carry on, Baha'u'lla. Aloha and Aru.
Slender, and he's got a walking stick. You'll be changed forever if you get hit by it. He's coming for the Zionists and all their bankers too. And if you don't behave yourself, he's coming after you. There's no way to stop him. He can't be bribed or bought. And he's sweeter than the air in spring, and meaner than you thought. You're the deer inside his headlights, if you're the kind that hunts by night. And no one stays anonymous when he gets you in his sights. Mr. Apocalypse is coming, oh yeah. He's rising into view just like the sun. He's bringing living truth, he's bringing freedom. And a wake up call designed for everyone. He's here. Mr. Apocalypse is here.
Feet to Fire is a production of IPS Media Works on the OnSIC Radio Network of Stations.